And let's turn to Genesis chapter 32, please. Genesis 32. You know, I am so glad as a believer that we are forgiven our sins and we're justified. We should never get over that. But folks, you know, there's a lot more to salvation than just that. In fact, there's got to be. Because have you discovered, and I'm sure you have, that there is something radically wrong deep inside of human beings that must undergo a complete transformation? It's still happening. I've been saved for many decades, and that transforming work is still going on in me. It hasn't been completed yet. God's still at work because there is so much that needs to be done in man. Our inner man needs to be renewed, and it needs to be renewed on a regular daily basis. In Genesis 32, I think we see a picture of what God is intending to do in human lives. This account of Jacob, remember, wrestling with the angel of the Lord, this incident where he is faced with his brother who he ran away from because his brother was so hostile towards him, he wanted to kill him. Jacob is now about to meet his brother 20 years later. And his brother is on his way to meet Jacob, and he has 400 men with him. And they're advancing. And Jacob has done all that was possible in his plans to do to protect himself and his family. Everything's in place that he could do. And yet he's full of fear. And he has absolutely no peace. He knows that he's facing the battle of his life. And so God finds Jacob alone, and he's working on him. All of Jacob's scheming, all of his manipulation, all of his machinations, all he is trying to do, God is going to get a hold of this man, literally. He's going to get a hold of Jacob, and he is in the process of making Jacob the man that he wants him to be. And that is going to necessitate a changed heart, an absolute change inwardly. And so I want us to look at this account. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if you'll hook up with me in chapter 32 of Genesis in verse 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," that is, when this man that wrestled Jacob realized he was not winning, "he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." And he, this is Jacob's, this is the angel speaking, the man wrestling with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Jacob's answer, and he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And the man said to Jacob, he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and hast prevailed." I'm just going to stop there for a moment. I want to pause. I want to pray. And I want to share some thoughts from verse 26 through 28 as we just think through these things this evening. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for just the wonderful insight that you give as you deal with, people. You dealt with Jacob in such an amazing way. And I thank you for the lessons that you show us through it. And I pray that we would take it to heart. We'd get what you want us to get from this passage tonight. And as a result, we, like Jacob, would be ready to let you have your way with us. Lord, I need this. We need this. We need to hear from you. Spirit of God, we pray for your anointing. We pray that you would pour out upon us the power of your Spirit, and that you would open our spiritual ears, our hearts, to receive what it is that you have to say to us. And Lord, we want you to have your way. Manifest your presence with us tonight. As you dealt with Jacob, deal with us and transform us, Lord, we pray. May we cry out to you as Jacob did for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at verse 26. There are three questions that I want to bring to you tonight and have us ponder together. And the first question is in verse 26, where we have already read, the man says, "Let me go." And Jacob, he responds, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." My first question to us to consider tonight is, do you really want to be blessed? Do you really want to be blessed? The greatest human need, the thing that you and I, who are believers, ought to desire more than anything else in all of life, really, is to have God's blessing. I don't know about you, but that's something that I desperately want all the time in my life. And I never want to be satisfied with the level of blessing that I have received from God. And I'm not talking about monetary riches. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about, I want the spiritual blessing that God has in store for my life. And I want that for you too. I want that for all of God's people. But I want you to see in this 26th verse, and really the whole account here of this wrestling match, there's a fight going on, but it may not be the kind of fight that you think is actually happening. Most people think that Jacob is trying to force God to bless him, and that if you're going to get blessing from God, then you got to, like Jacob, do the same thing. You got to twist his arm. You got to wrestle with him. You got to make him bless you in order to get God's blessing. But actually, that's not what's happening here. It's the opposite. Jacob may not even have realized it, but the opposite of that is actually what's happening. It is Jacob fighting against God's blessing. It's Jacob fighting to keep God from blessing him because he doesn't understand how the blessing of God is received. For God to bless Jacob and for God to bless us, he wants a completely clean heart. He wants to totally possess our being. He wants to set us free. And all the time, like Jacob, we're fighting him. And when we fight God, we're fighting for our bondage. We're fighting for our continued enslavement to ourselves, to our selfishness, to our flesh. And so there's a fight going on. Are you fighting for your bondage while God is trying to set you free? Perhaps that is maybe a little bit of a revelation as to why life's been so miserable. Because God's trying to bless you, but in order to bless you, he has to do a cleansing of your heart. You have to yield to his total possession of you in order to be set free from your self-life. So God is fighting Jacob all night, and at dawn, verse 26, he says, basically to this man, look, I've tried to bless you. I've been trying all night to bless you. I'm leaving now. It's a new day. And as a result of that, Jacob found something. Jacob is really faced here with a very desperate moment. He's come so close to God in that wrestling with that man all night. He's come so close to God, and yet he's continued to fight him. And it's as if God is saying, if you don't want my best, I'll just leave. And at this point, when Jacob says what he does in verse 26, Jacob's panicked. He means by that, you're not going to leave me like this, are you? You're not going to leave me like this. I've lost everything, and now I'm going to lose you too. I believe that this is the point when Jacob finally saw the value of God alone. That is the place of blessing. When we, as the people of God, come to discover, find the value of having God alone and finding that He is enough. Are you fighting God unknowingly, keeping Him from giving you His best? Because God's presence eventually leaves. And I'm not talking about the indwelling, okay? But the reality of the manifest presence of God is what we covet. When we want the blessing of God, we want God to manifest the reality of His presence with us. But that eventually leaves if we fight God. We have to learn the value of God's presence. And when we do, be desperate to retain it. If you've ever experienced the manifest presence of God, you will be desperate to have that and to retain that in your life all the time. So the first question of verse 26, Genesis 32, is, do you really want to be blessed? You really want to be blessed? You remember when Jesus, many times before He healed someone, He said, what do you want me to do for you? He says to a blind man, do you want to see? Do you really want to be blessed? Do you know what it takes to be blessed of God? That's what He's dealing with here. Look at verse 27. Here's the second question where He's asked His name. This man He wrestles asks His name, and He has to admit, my name is Jacob. The second question is, not only you really want to be blessed, but are you ready to face yourself? Ready to face yourself? You see, God's not just trying to bless Jacob. God wants to transform Jacob. That's the whole goal of this wrestling match. That's what God's been working in doing ever since Jacob was born. He wants to transform him. You know how that happens? It happens when you discover something. He asked him his name because he wants to bring Jacob to a point of self-discovery. What's your name? You know what my name is. Jacob, you need to face who you are. Jacob, it means he grasps. He grasps. He clings. It's a classic example of someone who is a schemer, Jacob, a manipulator, a person that pulls strings in order to get what they want. That's what Jacob means, the grasper. He's facing a hostile brother and there's no escape. He's schemed the best he can, and now he's alone, and he's full of fear. There's nothing more that he can do. Now he needs God's help in order to survive. He knows that. So he wrestles with the one who has been wrestling with him for years. But now he's finally surrendering. Now he's asking for God's blessing. And God's response when we ask for his blessing is, "What's your name?" He asks him his name. It's the ultimate moment of self-discovery for Jacob. He has to face himself, who he really is. I'm the grasper. I'm the schemer. I'm the cheater. I'm the manipulator. There's no escape. He has to face who he was, a grasping, manipulating, grabby, sneaky thief and cheat. That's who he really was. So there was a discovery in the asking of that name. But I'm glad it doesn't stop there, because through that discovery comes deliverance. It happened 20 years ago, before this incident, when he first met God. It has taken God a long time to get Jacob to this point in his life. You know what? I'm actually comforted by that. God takes his time in dealing with people. And you know why? Because our self-focus, our self-indulgent life is so deep. Our lives are totally permeated with selfishness. The Holy Spirit has to bring us to the end of ourselves, and that takes time. And often it takes multiple occasions in which that happens. There's no deliverance from the self life, however, until you and I, like Jacob, acknowledge who we are. Until Jacob acknowledged he was the grasper, the schemer, the manipulator, until he acknowledged who he was, then that made possible a breakthrough that actually led to his deliverance. And this manipulator got renamed. Jacob got named Israel, a prince of God. Have you ever experienced that kind of deliverance? Not just from sin, but from your self-centered lifestyle, from self-centered living where you're not the focus, but God's the focus and other people are more important than you are. That's the deliverance that this discovery brings about. And it happens when we come to the cross. The cross is the breaking point. The cross is where we are broken. It's the cross of the Lord Jesus that brings us to a place of spiritual crucifixion. But that's not where it ends. Out of that cross experience, out of that dying to self, comes a resurrection life that Paul said, "That's what I want to know. I want to know the power of resurrection, but I understand that that's impossible until, first of all, I am made conformable unto his death." So this crucifixion, resurrection life that springs from it, you discover who you are, cause you to cry out for God's deliverance, and God comes through. Third question I want to answer and ask ourselves tonight from Jacob's experience is verse 28. Not only do you really want to be blessed, and are you ready to face yourself, but thirdly, do you really want to be used? I mean, by God, do you really want to be used? Do you really, as we sung, want God to make you a blessing to others? Do you really want to be used? Jacob's story is an amazing saga of God's patient grace molding a person's life. And I'm so glad he is just that. That's what it is. It's grace at work here. What you have in the life of Jacob is really an illustration or a picture of a labyrinth, a maze of selfishness that God brings him through. That's what God's grace does for us. God's grace does not merely forgive us of our sin. Thank God for that. But if that's where you've stopped, you've missed the real big point of the Christian life. It's to bring you through that labyrinth of the self life. Jacob was a person that was living for himself. He was doing what he thought would be necessary to be successful without any total reliance on God. Jacob was born a heel grasper. Jacob was born grasping the heel of his twin brother Esau. In fact, Jacob's name literally means one who grasps by the heel. And that's the characteristic of his life. It was a selfish grabbing and grasping, pushing to get what he wanted. And yet, incredibly, God is so loving and so patient and so wonderful that through this grabbing man, Jacob, God purpose to raise up a nation through whom the Savior of the world would come. Seems inconceivable to me that God would use such a deceitful person to further the plan of redemption. But then I look at myself and think, wow, God can use me. It's grace. It's totally God. It's not deserved, and it's not our brute strength that makes it happen. You want to be used by God? Grace is at work to make that happen. And look at what grace brings out in a person in this passage. Verse 28, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and has prevailed. I want to look at that word Israel again. I mean, a prince with God. There's different ways that Israel can be interpreted, that Hebrew name. And one way it can be interpreted is governed or ruled by God. God governed. God ruled. And this here, God reveals in that name change how he can transform a person. In changing the name, it's a clue as to how God transforms a person. Here's a transformed man from a schemer, a conniver, a manipulator to a God-ruled man, a God-governed. Grace made this man able to allow God to govern his life, to let God rule his life. You see, a sovereign God cares enough about a single selfish person like Jacob to turn him into a person that was a world changer. And really, that any of us, that's our only hope, is to let God rule our life and let God overrule our selfish focus. And that will bring blessing to us, and then we'll become a blessing to others. Jacob became a blessing to the whole world. Here's the point. The way to be blessed, you want to be blessed? The way to be blessed is to bless others. And that requires that God transform you, that God blesses you by transforming you. And by his grace, make you one that he governs, and he'll make your life a blessing. I was thinking how to illustrate this and just tie it all together. Came across this illustration, an RV. Now, I know we're city people, we don't have RVs, okay? But a lot of people, like where my wife comes from in the Midwest, where I come from in PA, a lot of them have RVs, okay? Well, an RV allows a person all the convenience of home on wheels. And so if you have an RV and you go camping, you're not really camping. You no longer need to deal with sleeping on the ground in a sleeping bag and cooking over an open fire or hauling water from a stream. You can park your fully equipped RV on a cement slab in the middle of a few pine trees, and you can hook up to a water line, a sewer line, and electricity, and enjoy all the comforts of home. People use their RVs to go see new places, and yet they're decked with the same home furnishings. So nothing really changes. They drive to a new place, new surroundings, but they've only carried along their old settings. We, as believers, carry a lot of familiar baggage from our past ways of living into this new life in Christ. Comfortable patterns of indulging our flesh. You want to hear them? We indulge ourselves. We eat what we want. We spend our money as we want. We go where we want. We do, and we say what we feel like. God's goal is to remove that selfish flesh indulgence from us and to completely transform us. That's what he's doing. So let's review the three questions. You really want to be blessed? Are you ready to face yourself? Do you really want to be used? You see, blessing is being used by God, is being an instrument in God's hands, but to be blessed is costly. It doesn't come free. It doesn't come without pain. In closing, I visited our sister, Linda Micklethwaite, in the hospital this afternoon. I'm encouraged because she's not upset about what happened to her, about her injury. In fact, she doesn't even see it as an accident. She sees it as a God incident, that God allowed this for a purpose in her life, and she's determined to find out how she can serve God's purpose at this point. Okay. You see, that's what I'm talking about. But does God have to put our hip out of joint in order for us to come to that point like he did with Jacob? Well, perhaps so, because we're made of the same stuff that Jacob's made out of. But folks, I come to the point in my life now that maybe I'm older and wiser. Maybe I'm more fearful. I don't want God to twist my arm anymore. If I find out that God wants something from me, I say, okay, Lord, okay. I'm ready. I know what it is to be chastened of the Lord. I still do. He still chastens me. But I've determined that I hope I don't need as bad a spanking as I used to need, you know. We bring up our kids. Some of them are really stubborn, right? And you really have to spank them. And then as they get older, you don't have to spank them as much. Why? Because they've learned. I think we need to learn just to surrender to the Lord so that he doesn't have to, and he's not looking to clobber us, okay? That's not God's intention. But whom he loves, he chastens. I would like to say that, like, with one of my children in particular, I would just look at that child in a displeasing look, and that would be enough. You know? Others, no, that didn't work. I would like to believe that you and I are like that, that all God has to do is just look at us that way, and we would say, yes, Lord, I get it, and turn.